Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
As a matter of fact, my relatives in Mayo just dedicated Loretta, one of my cousins, headed up the hospice effort for cancer, not just cancer, but hospice in Ireland. And they just dedicated a new significant facility to my son, Beau Biden, who died of cancer. And so everything between Ireland and the United States runs deep. Taoiseach, our joys, our sorrows, our passion, our drive, and our unrelenting optimism and hope.
Hello, everybody, and you're all very welcome
to
the Tommy, Hector, and Rita podcast. I have a question for you.
All right.
Yes.
If someone you love has a habit of not flushing the jacks after them, what should you do?
Flush it when you go in there, depending on the status of
that's
the toilet.
Bad. That is one of the
crimes against
cardinal sins of the house.
But what if you're visiting people and this person you love goes into the bathroom? Should you swing in straight after?
There's a bit of an innuendo. He won't look at me when he's talking about this. I have an awful habit, Tommy, of using your toilet. I like your toilet in your house. Is there anyone that's done it visiting your house in the last couple of weeks that has?
Well, I have noticed one thing is that men from Donegal don't flush the jacks after having a piss. Have you noticed that?
Men from Donegal specifically?
Men, because I've been on the road with men from Donegal for the past 25 years and they have, it's like they were reared in a county where piss isn't considered a flushable
offensive
thing. Yeah. Have you noticed that?
But maybe they're trying to be, conserve the water and,
we're going to be flushing all the water. They're doing it. There's just no need to build a bee. Like, no harm. Nobody does
exactly.
You know what I mean?
Another thing, it was a big moment for me at the weekend that I'd like to share with you. A fucking traumatic moment. I think it's a sad moment. It's a sad moment in my life. But it fucking happened and I want to share it with you. Would you mind if I shared it with you?
Are you okay with that?
I've been staying in hotels for the past 30 years. Hotels all over the fucking world and I've been going mad in them.
Right.
Cocaine, fights, broken teeth, whiskey, sleeping on the floor, sleeping upside down. Just mayhem. For me, hotels was always the rock and roll out. You go into a hotel and the fucking let the debauchery
begin.
Yeah. And you're a man in a hotel, yeah. And you're involved, you're in the entertainment business, and what happens in a hotel room fucking stays in a hotel room because you're a legend and you're fucking, you drink whiskey first thing in the morning in a hotel and you fight, you ring up a rent boy and you beat the fuck out of him inside in the room. You put a leather hood in his head and you'd lock him in the jacks
in the wardrobe
for a day and a half. Hotels rooms are always, they always offer you the prospect of mayhem.
Right.
Right. Well, an awful thing happened to me over the weekend. Now, it was something that I'd done myself. I've no one to blame but myself. But it just shows me where I'm at as a man. Will I tell you what it was?
Yes.
For the first time in my life ever.
Okay.
Yeah. I brought a pair of pyjamas to the hotel room.
Oh my God. And you were actually there
don't
by yourself.
And
I was packing up on, head up to the hotel on Saturday morning, and I was packing, and I was like, well, what? Like, I was going to be two nights in the hotel. And I was like, well, what should I be at? Well, it's a great opportunity to go to bed early. But I can't be walking around comfortable in the nip.
Cause the kids, and it was quite cold last week, so.
Yeah, so yeah. I packed a pair of pajamas. Worse, do you want to hear the worst news?
Slippers.
Worse again. No. So stay in the hotel for two nights.
Somebody knocks on your door.
Nope. Stay in the hotel for two nights. And after night one, took off your pajamas and I folded them and I put them under the pillow.
Oh, there's no set. There's no
Jesus
help for
Christ.
You.
Christ.
I'm an old man. Is that,
you are.
I'm an old man. Fuck it.
I've been telling you that for weeks.
A pair of pajamas to Dublin.
I was watching something, reminded me of, you know, those reeling back the years, but it wasn't that.
Or sheer Neshaskadi. I fucking love that.
Yeah.
I wish it was, I would love to be alive in the 70s again.
Would you?
I fucking love it. Sideburns and slow cars and
flared trousers.
And women addicted to fucking slimline tonics and Complan.
And they
still are. Four boys, six lads getting out of the back of a Volkswagen, about 14 pints of stout.
Yeah, and men in Farah slacks and Farah jackets,
McGee jackets.
And the hats. You get a hat when you were eight, you wouldn't take it off till you'd met the devil. Do you know what I mean? I just love old stuff.
So what, was there less rules or?
It was just people, more Irish.
100 people in the dressing room of a match. They're all lying in on top of each other smoking
fags. People coming on the Late Late Show with fucking eight fags and a glass of whiskey.
Yellow fingers on old men.
Fucking love that.
Read it. But I had a question
big,
for you.
Big bushy pubes and everything. I fucking love all that.
Walking around with big bushy pubes. Like, what the fuck? What were they
big
wearing?
Big hairy. Big fucking... Gooders. Kind of
Gooders. What the fuck?
Big hairy legs and men and old black socks and fucking Dubarry shoes.
Moss holes. So tell us about the show you're watching.
No, but I was... So it reminded me of a time, before my time, but I wanted to ask you about it, about when condoms were banned in Ireland, when you couldn't buy them on the unless it was prescription or...
Yeah, but see, when the whole condom thing was before we were riding. So that whole condom thing was
in the 80s, like.
Early to mid 80s. Prescription. We were never back. It was never a prescription.
But in 1988,
yeah,
the condom machine was confiscated from Trinity College by the cops, by the guards. Like, that's 1988.
I was in Trinity.
Were you there when it happened?
I was there in the buttery bar.
We wouldn't have needed contraception back then because all a woman had to do was fucking close the door of the bedroom and you are spent. Do you know what I mean?
If you got up into the bedroom.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Even the sight of her fucking night dress was just,
I'm gone. I'm over.
I'm after making a mess of myself.
And it's good night for me.
We didn't need condoms back then. You know,
There was just a lovely freeness to it. There was a flow to it.
It would have been a great business, wouldn't it have been, for someone selling contraband condoms?
I remember those machines that came into the toilets of the pubs in Ireland, and there was mint and banana flavour and strawberry flavour, and there was none of shite.
It was shite.
Was it? In by the urinal.
But I was just interested.
We used
like
to call them rubber johnnies. That was never used that word, condoms. That's just a technical term. They were in Navan, they were rubber johnnies.
And tell me, as a young woman, what was your relationship to condoms like? Like, did you like them? Were they a necessary thing? Were they a pain in the backside? Were they?
Well, I wouldn't know, Tommy, because I.
Isn't she great for fucking prizing? She's great for prizing all the secrets out of us. But once the fucking the cameras are turned, I couldn't possibly say.
So we want to fucking
Tommy,
know.
Were you carrying 20? Don't have sex until you get married.
Ah, come on, Larita, please. This is a podcast of the highest intimacy. We are a family here.
I'm asking you a question. Was it not the men's responsibility to have them?
Well, have you ever been in a situation where the you might think that, look, if it feels, if you, this conversation is making you feel uncomfortable, so I have a very, I have a very easy way of just loosening the flow. Let's talk about Audrey.
Let's use Audrey in the third person.
So was Audrey a gannet for the condoms?
Again. This is like,
Don't be getting all defensive.
I asked you a simple question about the story. And we replied. Now you're changing it into women's things. It was the man's responsibility. responsibility, was it?
But you know, we had to go into a pharmacy and sort of buy about seven the packets of Fisherman's Friends, four packets of pseudo cream, and three.
And slip the condoms
and then
underneath.
Say, excuse me, I'll take them. And yeah. they were Durex Featherlight or something. We hadn't a fucking clue. Yeah. And we'd get the packet and we'd run home and we'd be delighted.
Durex Maxi Max.
Maxi Max. Extra
ultra
ribbed.
Ultra maximum yeah. power strength.
But did you feel?
Dual action.
That's fucking the duffel coat special. Durex
double layer.
Durex high duty insulation double max penetration specials.
Patagonia presents.
Durex ultra slim, ultra tight, ultra feather sensible. Light.
Yeah, back in the day it was
ultra bulk,
ultra safe.
You banana. It's only back from fucking Thailand. I've got 150 packets of banana Johnny's boys.
they were a big
boys. Be chewing them instead of the fucking Wrigley's after school.
Banana Johnny's.
Yeah. What so, did you feel so, it was your responsibility as young males to have them in your wallets?
You'd never be so presumptuous that a woman would want to sleep with you to be carrying.
But what would you do then if you
for
didn't?
Us, it was sacred.
If you didn't have one and you were naked.
And it came to it.
But sure, that was never a problem.
These
never.
Things happen. They either happen and they don't happen, Loretta. It's it not. Never, this was just a moment of beauty.
If you can't have. It's not like. It's not like if you couldn't have sex, there was no crack to be had. Do you know what I'm saying?
I get you. There was you improvised.
Yeah, like put this
around
way.
The
well, no,
area.
Well, foreplay went on for about 4 days back then before the actual act.
Yeah, you were awful inexperienced, young fellow.
Six or seven hours.
We were just full of the joys. It was like going to bed with us, Loretta. It'd be like. Be like laying down with a lamb. We were just all frisky and good natured and no bad intentions.
No pushing and pulling and
jumping around the bed.
Not like getting fucking pinned by a dirty old ram with the smell of other sheep off him. Going to bed with us was like friskiness. We'd be hopping.
What's that?
We'd be fucking. Having, as the fella said to me, there'd be spunk splashing all over the place.
He wouldn't know where it was supposed to be going.
It was good, it was good. Yeah, it was just nice.
Champagne.
And you thought that was normal.
Working the diddy. You'd be working the diddy for days.
Diddy work.
And you put in a good shift, Loretta.
And the prince. And
you
the
put in a good couple of hours on the diddy
work.
You'd
have locked jaw from the diddy work.
And you know what, Loretta? And if you only got the diddy back then, you'd be happy with a bit of diddy. Bit of diddy back then was the ultimate.
So how has it changed now so much?
I was married.
No, not ye.
Oh, God bless the diddy work.
Innocent, like. Yeah, it was an innocence, wasn't there?
Diddy,
you just have to go out.
We're married.
Yeah, you just have to fucking go out.
Diddy work. Was the diddy work your favourite part to work?
Ah, sure, look it.
Of the starting point. Was that the go-to?
You start with the kissing.
A bit of kissing.
A bit of kissing and then...
And a bit of heavy petting then. But where did the heavy petting
start? Work your way
down
onto the oesophagus, down onto the neck area.
Yeah, onto our neck. We'd fucking be gnawing at our neck
back
for
then,
a week
back
and a
then,
half.
Love bites, you'd be... Blood coming out, but taking lumps of shit.
She'd be thinking love to herself.
Love bites, Tommy.
Oh, an awful funny story.
Vampires.
A friend of mine.
Hickeys.
A friend of mine ended up in hospital with third degree burns on her Mickey.
What?
Yeah, why? He said he was with this young one one time and he's gone, soak me, cock, come on, soak me, cock. And she says, I don't like the taste of it. And he says, what do you like the taste of? And she says, I don't know, toothpaste. Got a tube of toothpaste and he lathered his Mickey in toothpaste.
I'm gonna get sick.
And fucking 20 minutes later, oh fuck. I'm after burning the lad off myself.
That's a fact. What do you like the taste of?
Smother
that fucking Colgate cock, he's called. They called him Colgate cock for the
Did he have to go to the hospital?
No, no. Could you imagine if he said, no, don't send. You write them all. You know the one, the burning one. You write them all.
And dip it into a bit of Listerine afterwards.
No, but Loretta, back then we were just...
Happy to be there.
To be lying... Like, if you ever found yourself... Like, and most of our courting was done outdoors.
Up against walls.
Or down lanes or in a field or in a hay barn. Yes. So it was never going to be...
Escalate into...
Never have a lava lamp beside the bed with a load of fucking...
So if you ever found yourself in a situation where you were even just to be in bed with somebody and if she never took off her underpants, just that didn't bother you in the slightest. You were there. She said, you know, if she was there and just in the bra and the underpants, it'd be no bother at all. You'd just be
great.
Do you ever see a lamb just hopping around the room with a foreleg? You'd be fucking hopping here and hopping there. And she'd turn over to lie on her stomach. You'd just be destroyed with the fucking and relentless, and you could go again and again and again and again and again and again and again. She just, and you couldn't believe your luck, like you'd
should be there, like.
Oh, that.
I think your face is funnier than the noise you're making.
It was just the happiness of it. It was just.
It was a lot of just energy.
And then how would you tell, like, retell the story to another friend? Like, you know how men, like, you talk about stuff like that. Would you say?
Not really. Never. I don't think that ever happened.
You'd never say, I was in a bed last night with a woman.
No,
like, or,
no. I promise you that it was so good-natured.
Yeah.
And it was, my memory of it is of taking the kindness and the generosity of young women so seriously.
Mm.
And so genuinely that you would never be, oh yeah, and then I've woken up.
No, because it was stages, and if you got the bra off, that was like, oh my God, and it was stages. And then you try to loosen the belt. You try to loosen the belt to get the hand down.
No, you couldn't. That would
be
quiet.
A different story. Because then you'd be into
sinister.
A different world.
It gets sinister then. It gets sinister.
Yeah, you're going to be under pressure then. Like.
Oh, yeah. Like, fucking all creatures great and small. You're like James Herriot.
And then if you... the key was if your fly was undone, then it was like... Okay.
But it's all my memory of it is really, really good natured.
So innocent. Go back to your question.
It's just a wonderful thing, you know.
Women have to be in control, don't they, as well as men? Women have to be in control. So having condoms in the bag or in the same as in the wallet or the pocket. No, yeah. Loretta? Yes, can you come in on this, Loretta?
I'm just thinking about it.
Would
I
you like to elaborate?
You'd almost prefer to take the chance of getting somebody pregnant than going through the embarrassment of going,
buying it.
Oh, yeah, I bought a condom.
Will I buy a whole box or will I just
great days. Tell me this now. Looking back over your life. How many of your birthdays or birthday parties do you remember?
Isn't that mad? Look, what did I write down there?
So, birthdays. Wow.
And look at this, look at this.
Hector has all the numbers written down there. He wanted to talk about it as well. The fucking coincidence.
Look. 21st, 30th, 40th and 50th.
No way. So I remember my 13th birthday, which was at the Gaeltacht in Innisfail.
Right.
I remember that. I remember my 18th birthday. I was doing my fucking leaving cert.
Mm.
I was doing and my granny, the only one in my family, my granny drove over from Athlone with a slice of cake for me.
Go on.
And waited in the car park at the school until I was finished the exam. And I finished and I walked in and I sat in the car beside her and she said, happy birthday. And I ate a slice of cake in the car.
Oh, that was a nice birthday.
I remember my 21st birthday drinking on my own in Navan. First, I was living in Galway and I said to myself, well, sure, I'll go home for my 21st. And I was half thinking, it's the only way I'm going to get a couple of quid off the old pair.
Yeah.
I went home. I headed into town, I made no arrangements, and I was sitting in a fucking pub on my own in Navan drinking.
Tell me, these stories are killing me.
That's the truth of
Barcelona on your own, wandering around the streets, and now you're having your 21st.
So I'm 21st.
Did you not invite any of the lads?
Did you have a party?
I was on my own drinking.
But did you
and not? And the drunker I got, the more people I was telling.
It was your 21st.
And no one would fucking believe me because I was drinking on my own. Who's this fucking unpopular Ulton that he has no pals and he's fucking drinking by himself? The next one I remember is I remember my 40th birthday and my wife went to great trouble of inviting all of my friends and all of my family.
Yeah.
But
we were there.
Yeah.
I wasn't drinking. I was the only sober cunt in the fucking room.
He was going around with a high-vis jacket making sure everyone was happy.
Mm. So I didn't really get to fucking let go and have crack and spill myself all over the floor and
make
be scooped up and be minded the following morning with your beautiful wife bringing you out you got a bit out of hand last night. But here's, we start the day with a glass of champagne to put you right in your head. My 50th birthday, I spent on a fucking silent Buddhist retreat.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
And nobody knew it was my birthday. I'd taken a vow.
He couldn't even tell anyone.
I had taken a vow of silence for the 10 days. And halfway through the 10 days, I turned 50. And the
did you nudge a guy? Did you nudge a guy?
But
write?
A fella, I was, one of me.
Sign language, look.
Write it down on a piece of paper.
No, a fella that I work with.
You befriended him on it.
A fella that I work with is also on the silent retreat, and he knew it was my birthday. And
he couldn't even say happy birthday to you.
He couldn't speak. So halfway through one of the meditations, it was an open eye meditation where you just stare at the floor. Halfway through one of the meditations, I fucking glanced over at him and he glanced over at me and he fucking winked, and that was it. That was it. That was my 50th fucking birthday. So I've had a disaster. So tell me about years now. Oh, tell me about your birthdays. Can you remember? First, did you remember any of your...
I remember my 18th birthday. I was camping on the shores of Lake Derrivara because I was working for Cláiseann na Mhíon, the Irish language, in the winter. And it was after the last summer course, and I used to run this thing called Campa Fianaise, which was the Fenian camp, where I'd get a few hardcore Irish lads, about 15 and 16, and we'd get a load of tents, and we'd go on these military manoeuvres in the woods down near Lake Derrivara, and we'd camp on the lake, and we'd all...
You teaching them Irish.
We'd have all combats on us, and we'd speak Irish, and we'd do military manoeuvres in a wood.
What do you mean? What? You fucking military maneuvers.
Tell us that again. No, tell us.
We called it the Camp of Fenish, the Fenian Camp, and it was sort of like an extra course for the hardcore Irish speakers that were really...
Irish speakers?
Yeah, the boys that were really into it, like raising the flag and stuff.
Yes, but...
Do you get my drift? I can't really elaborate a little bit.
The war is over, Hector. You're trying to spill the beans. You've got diplomatic immunity.
This would be the lads that would be really into Cláiseann na Mhíon and the Gaeilge and All for the Cause. And
so the flag, the tricolour, flag, yeah. the United Ireland.
Yes.
The enemy has to be defeated.
What were you doing?
There's a fucking 18-year-old leading four fucking 15-year-olds in a wood down in fucking Derivada.
It was just
raising the flag.
It was just a...
Dushiki!
Ironiki, lads, that's your share, clunker, budget! Military maneuvers in ish, got in a ray!
Fair, to assassin is the clanshin!
And we'd all have a pair of binoculars going, fair, class of luck! Cacalior, Ketao, Neil Sagam, right, Sister Chuck, got in a, she's an urlar! We'd crawl through the woods then. We'd wait then. We'd wait in the woods with fake guns. We'd have
fake guns, yeah. Made of what?
Wood.
Made of woody guns.
Woody guns. Cunis, tell me here. Right, a right lane, Cacalior.
Hop, 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 hop.
Keag and Will and Erskine, who's got the map? Right, Thomas Junshaw points to A. Thomas Gulga points to B. Right, God did it, a right lane.
Sounds like that laser cat.
I have photos of me in the Campa Fianaise. You want to have seen the cut of us.
And would you have like, do the
black markings?
Black markings on the face.
And the army.
This was a mixture between the FCA, the SAS Who Dares Wins, and the Irish Army.
Yes.
And it was so... It was my 18th birthday on it, and Loch Derrivara was such a special place near Crooked Wood, Crooked Wood. I love that little village outside Mullingar. But Crooked Wood was the nearest point, near shop. We were self-sufficient for 5 days and five nights at the lake. It was a special lake.
Now, can I ask you a question? This is what you're doing, right? But was there an adult...
He was the adult.
No, but was there an adult in the organisation saying, the Hector, will you take them boys away for a bit of military training?
I'm the adult.
No, but whose idea was it to take them training?
This was a long-standing thing for the...
A radical group.
Caliphate.
Caliphate. This was more...
Caliphate and Antami.
This was for more, like, you understand, these guys were going to 2 or 3 months of summer courses. They were working as Kuntori and prefects. They were already assimilated into the cause.
Yeah, but what I want to know, Hector, is I understand that you are taking them out into the woods.
They fill out a form. The parents would fill out a form.
But who in head office is kind of sanctioning?
What
who,
office?
It's like if somebody's saying, Hector's taking the new recruits out to the wood. They'd be fucking, he has them for 5 days. They'd be fit to fucking kill when they come in.
I have a picture
next week of the head of us. It looks like something from the fucking Black and Tans. I have a great picture of them. We're all in combats.
And you're obviously taking it really seriously.
Yeah, we're all dressed in combats from head to toe.
With woody guns.
But it's SAS Who Dares Wins. It's, yes. It's boys going out camping and doing manoeuvres and trawling through the mud and
who?
waiting in a. Have you ever waited at a lump of fucking moss and in a wood?
Which is on your head.
And it's there, like it's quiet. And shh.
And all the, everything, Oscar Ilge.
But who are you waiting for?
We're on manoeuvres, Larita.
They were waiting for themselves
what
to get
tired. What
do
you think you do on tactical manoeuvres? You have to fucking wait. Wait until the time is right.
But Hector, also, who is the enemy?
The enemy is everywhere.
Well, who is it?
Was there a fox?
No, but the enemy's everywhere. You just don't know. I will create a manoeuvre every day.
Like the trees?
Well, we'd have to go on an expedition.
What were you looking for?
What are you like? We were on an expedition. We were recruits.
What were you like? What are you like training the under-15s out in fucking Clare Galway if you're coming from the military background?
That's why we're winning county titles. Right, lads, get out. All out.
Like... Going around the beach with
the
their
far side of the lake, for example, was Knockine, which is the mountain where you could see seven counties. And so we would say, right, today...
Now, if you could get there and take it over, that would be a huge thing.
We would have a map
of the lake, and it's about 7 miles long. So I would say we would go to point A now, and we'd have our compasses, and we'd get to point B, and then we'd climb the top of the mountain.
And the whole thing is to move without being seen.
Yeah, but we'd sit on top of the mountain, then we'd lie in on the top of the mountain was like meadow long grass, and we'd be all the way through the meadow on our hands and knees.
Did you ever actually see anyone else?
Huh?
Did anyone else see you? Or did you see
Nobody
anyone else?
Nobody knew we were there. It was undercover. We were undercover.
I understand.
But my mother came with a present for me. Hector! I'm in here, by the way! Hector!
She brought more shopping for you.
Your mum is straight from around the woods.
Judas, and you can hear, hello. But she had a yellow Citroen Visa.
Stand down. Hector's mother's coming. Stand down.
Oscar Ilge, you have to say that. Oscar Ilge.
All right.
Cetius.
My mother had a yellow Citroen Visa, right? And she drove down through the fields coming towards and I'll never forget it because I didn't want the Citroen Visa coming into the camp. So I just ran up the field to meet Trina, my mother, and she brought me down a fucking Levi jacket for my 18th birthday. And she said, I got this for you in McKenna Man and Nav. And she knew I wanted it. I was a big into the denim Levi jackets. And she gave me the jacket.
Can I ask you, did she think you weren't going to come back?
She knew I was big into the language and all of this.
Language.
Was just
the language camp.
So that was my 18.
Oh, wow. That was good.
I never forget the image of a Citroen Visa coming down a field towards the military camp. And we couldn't let her into the camp.
The military
because
camp.
I have sentries. I've lads on sentry duty through the night and through the day. Stop.
So you had to tell them. Had you walkie-talkies or anything?
Absolutely walkie-talkies. Oh. Binoculars. Go channel ahead, lads.
Shooty Conchies.
Lads.
Shooty Conchies. Shooty Conchies.
Go channel ahead, Hector.
Channel ahead, Shooty County.
Ta on gui a chocked an ish August Toshig, Borstuck on jaw on digitu, over.
And your man is 100 yards down the road.
Over.
Toshig a trasna. Trasna. A gul trasna.
Shirley Kaiji's. So that was my 18.
Did you ever go back on those trips?
No, I think we were curtailed.
And did the training ever
come in
useful in any other part of your life?
No, but for you can understand that I was in the summer college, the Gaeltacht, for June, July and August. So the college would finish, the last one would be all sad around the 20th of August. But we wouldn't be sad because on the Sunday when the course had over, I'd have my little band of 11 disciples, my 11 apostles, and we'd all head to the lake then for more manoeuvres.
And did you have the map drawn out?
We'd have all tactical displays, compasses, everything. This was high tech. We didn't have live ammunition.
Like biros and paper. And,
yeah. and we were cooking out at night time on a big fire and we had our tent assembled. We had an Irish flag flying high every day. We'd take it up and take it down. Or Dieter, an Pratach na Shunta.
And would you sing the national anthem?
Yes, and then we'd take it down and fold it properly.
Legends.
What did you do for your 21st? Can you remember?
I don't know. I can't remember what the fuck happened my 21st. My 30th, I had in Spain with about 20 mates. We went to Torrevieja. We rented a house in a complex, and 20 of us went out to Torrevieja. And I don't remember much of that. I remember being in a swimming pool in a baby's pool at 8 o'clock in the morning. And we all took the old plastic seats down into the baby's pool, and we were still up. And we had cigars and bottles of rum, and it was early morning. We'd done a good night's shift. we were partying. We went to a club called Pasha. Oomph. And then at one stage at 4 o'clock in the morning in this club, the roof opened. And it was a whole terraced area and it was banging techno. And we were having a good... We went down to the Monk's Bar. Do you know the Monk? Mm-mm. The Monk.
Oh, yes.
The Monk bought a boozer in Torrevieja called the Priest's Chair or the Druid's Chair or something like that. And we had heard that the Monks had a pub. So we went in there for an afternoon and then we went to a nightclub. And it was Pasha. And it was... that next morning, I remember we had a great night that night, but sitting in a baby's pool with about 20 of your mates and all the women, all the boys, and we're just sitting there smoking cigars and...
Beautiful. And can you remember your 40th was in the Electric Picnic?
My 40th, I was lucky enough to know...
another thing with the roof off.
That was roofs off there. I was lucky enough that the boys, friends of mine who were involved in the Electric Picnic, gave me permission... And John Reynolds, God bless him, when I rang him and I said I wanted to do, because a lot of mates were working behind the scenes at the Electric Picnic, I said, is there any way we can give me a little tent or something? Just somewhere, little corner.
Where ended up in a big tent.
It was a fucking massive tent in the near the Electric Arena. When everyone else pissed off and they closed the area, we had our own massive tent. Yeah. You could fit a couple of thousand in there. We had DJs. There was a lot of there was a safari full of different eclectic types of people. A lot of the crew came in there. Tommy was in the middle of it, and
dancing with no drugs or drink on me.
Because your 40th was coming up, and you weren't drinking at the time.
You weren't drinking.
Or and how long did you last?
I lasted a good while because once I get into me dancing, it's hard to stop me.
I can imagine you going the corner dance.
I don't have a lot of moves, but the ones that I do have, I'm very comfortable with.
So that was me 40. I did nothing for me 50th. I did
nothing.
Fucking nothing.
Says the man who was on a retreat.
What did I do with me 50th? I think, would you have a dinner at the house? I don't know. But anyway, isn't that a good one, the age?
How come were you not minded to do something for your 50th?
I think I might have. No, I just sort of did. What did we do? Was I away with the missus? I can't fucking remember. Isn't it funny the way the 21st or
will he be having 60th birthdays, or is that inappropriate?
Well, ask us closest to the
closer. That's closer
to the time.
But I have a feeling I might go mental for my 60th.
Well, you'll have to catch up on a lot of birthdays.
I'm going to use all the frustrations from 13, 18, 21, 40 and 50, and I'm just going to go fucking
wild
apeshit. I'm going to. Do you know what I'm going to do?
What?
I am going to hire out, if the health board would let me, the old psychiatric hospital in Ballinasloe.
Oh, that's appropriate.
And there's going to be a different drug in every room. And different music and barbecues and fellas over from India playing fucking
Nelly Crime
improvised sitar.
You could go in and do belly dancing and fucking and Buddhas and Hindus.
As the fella said, pointing to his own skull, watch this space.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
I my wife is very musical, and obviously with the Clare blood and the Kilfenora blood.
What instruments does she play?
The flute, which she's a very good tin whistle player. Very good, very, very good tin whistle player.
And
she wouldn't say that, but I know she is.
The flute is out to the side.
Yes, the flute.
And so she's able to do the funny thing with the lip.
Brilliant.
So, before you go on, a few questions. Would she ever play for her own comfort around the house?
No, the flute is in under the bed.
In its box?
Yes.
The flute is under the bed.
The flute is under the bed. It only comes out at Christmas.
Where's the flute?
The flute is under the bed. But where is she? The flute is in its packed away under the bed. It only comes out at Stephen's Day.
Okay. Oh, she, well, for the wrens.
The king of the wren.
So would you ever, just to get the tin whistle, where's that
kept? She would have the tin whistle down in the cutlery.
In the cutlery.
She's about 14 whistles in the cutlery because
DC.
There was a time when the boys were in Bournemouth National School that they were all doing their little, you know, the deedle dee, deedle 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 dee. And it was driving us mentally.
The dawning of the day.
You go to the Christmas nativity playing, and now we'll have junior and senior infants, and they'll be like, beep,
beep. The dogs are all going fucking mental.
my youngest boy Shane would be always there acting as if he's playing, and he plays nothing. Useless. Rean took up the banjo. Rean was decent on the banjo, and I had these envisions of the boys, the banjo. We banjo three who live up the road from me came down and played for the communion. For Rean's communion, we had a bit of an old tent out the back, and we had a Peroni on draft, and it drove uncles and aunties demented. There were uncles and aunties coming in, and they were like, "What's that?" And I had a little gazebo, we banjo three playing, and we had a keg of Peroni. And after a while, I had the tall glasses. After a while, I could see everyone getting a little bit locked in the Peroni. Like, "Oh, that's one of the best beers I've ever tasted." Little did they know it was really super strong. So by the end of the night, anyway, Rean is on the banjo. He's learned that. So Dipna would be trying to teach the boys the tin whistle. She's a really good tin whistle player. The best tin whistle player in the country is a lady from Spittle called Mary Bergen.
Oh, yeah.
Who's an absolute... She's the Jimi Hendrix of the tin whistle. So that she would always...
Puts behind her head and plays
it. Uses her ear to blow us the air out.
Psychedelic tin whistle.
There must be somewhere over here. To the joke or to the thief. But, Demi, does your wife play for her own comfort and amusement ever?
Oh, but Stephen's Day, we go to a local pub over the road, and there'd be about 60 people in there about 4 o'clock in the evening, and she would just hooch into the session.
Lovely.
And just every
love
tune.
That.
And for those of you listening who don't know, Hector's wife, the family is the Kilfenora
Cayley Band.
Yeah. So imagine, they'd be,
that's just super talented.
I tell you, this was a sound in their house growing up, wasn't it? Just a fucking, the soft stomp of the floor.
Lovely.
As the tune is fucking hopping beautiful.
And all that side. So music is big in their house, but it hasn't, Rean has given up the banjo. Shane has no interest in it. And it reminded me of when I tried to learn a musical instrument, my mother had the wiseness to go downtown one day and buy me a guitar. I was about 9 years of age, and I used to have to go to classes to learn the guitar. So I would put the guitar in the sort of bag and walk from my house every Saturday morning about a mile towards the first bridge. And then I'd get down, climb down the side of the bridge and walk along the train tracks for another 2 miles and go to this...
That's the cover of the album now. Hector on the train tracks.
I was just visualising that while you were talking.
I'd go along the train tracks then and go down towards the Kells Road, and I'd get off the train tracks, and then I'd go down to this house, and there was a little sort of an old annexed flat roof beside it, and I'd knock on the door, and it was the home of the Bogey Boys and Smiths. A very musical family. And the sister is One Day at a Time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. That's where they were born. And I'd go in there.
It's like a fucking clue from a crossword.
The sister was born in the song?
Who sang this? I'm only human.
Loads of people sang it.
No! I'm just a woman.
Louise Morrissey.
No! Lord help me to say.
Mrs. Smith.
Help me to pray.
You've forgotten her name, haven't you?
No, I'm trying to remember as I sing this.
Margot.
I'm just a woman.
Is Margot related to Daniel O'Donnell?
Yes.
So what was she doing? No, it wasn't Margot.
It was Gloria. Gloria, and it was number one in Ireland for about 14 weeks. She's from Navan. Yeah. So the Smith, and the Bogey Boys.
Gloria Smith, is that her name?
Gloria Smith.
And
the Bogey Boys were a very famous rock and roll band in Ireland in the 80s. Tony Smith and all the boys were in the Bogey Boys. And that's the house, one of the boys there from the Bogey Boys would teach me the guitar. And I'd knock on the door, and it was Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. And I would bring in my 50p or my pound.
Oh, yeah.
And drop it in the thing, the box. And I'd sit on a plastic chair. And he'd go, okay, Hector, here we go. Ding, 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 ding. It was all McDonald for about 6 fucking months. It was cash. And I put the bag. I put the. That's thanks, Hector. Okay, see you next week.
Rock and roll legend back in the train tracks.
E-I-E-I-O. Can you imagine him sitting down with
a wink, wink here and a wink, wink there.
And my mother would say to me, then I'd walk up the train tracks. I'd walk up the train tracks and get stung by nettles on the way back up. And then I'd climb up to the top of the bridge at the moat bridge. And then I'd walk another mile and a half past all the tinkers. And then I'd get home to the bungalow. And then I'd go in and my mother would say, there's a bit of sandwich spread there with 2 slices of ham and a bit of bread. So some sandwich spread left over or the salad cream. Have your lunch.
Oh.
And then she said, did you learn much today? And I go, I did. Take it out there and play it for me.
So you only learned the first 5 lines.
So after about 3 years of this, right, every Saturday morning, no lifts, just go out in the rain with me fucking head and down the road, down the bridge, across the tracks, into the fucking thing, drop the pound in the fucking thing. I fucking was there going, fuck this fucking shit. So one day in the sitting room, I said, fuck the guitar. And I fucking off the couch. I said to splitterines and fucking cunt, bastard of a guitar. Fuck yes, fuck off. And the guitar was like, and that was the
strings
end.
Strings everywhere.
There was no more fucking old MacDonald for me. My father goes, that guitar's fucked anyway. Like, well, I bit the guitar off the cable end of the house. Cunt! Fuck you! Fuck off! And that was my. That was the only time I tried to learn him, and it was. It was that journey. But so do you guys ever play anything?
I played the tin whistle all the time, but I can still only play the same things all the time.
Class. Is that your party piece?
Yeah, but I can't. I can play The Dawning of the Day and I can play Sean South from Gary Owen, you know.
Do you ever take out the flute at Christmas?
My sister got married in Italy and there's a band. They flew them over anyway and we were all at the wedding. And I said to them on the next night, you know, and we were having like a big barbecue and they were playing outside and I said, I can play the tin whistle and I brought it with me. And they were like, oh, brilliant. Come on, sew up. It's the next thing. They were like, do you want me to, will we support you playing? I said, I'm happy enough to go alone, but I said, you can join in if you want. Next thing I started playing, D-F-F-F, D-A-D-B-D-D-D-D-E-F, D-F-B-B-D-E. They were like, everyone was sitting around going, is this supposed to be good? Are you a grown adult? Is this supposed to be good?
Is this your sister? Is she all right?
And the band are there going, looking at each other, like strumming the guitar.
The day in the Mediterranean.
And then they're saying, you were sort of going too fast and too slow for us to join in.
What was your sister?
That's a remarkable gift, Larissa, to be able to go too slow and too fast.
They didn't know what they were doing.
I love that 5-star Mediterranean hotel. So I played the dawning.
And then I said, I have another one. And they were like, it's okay, it's all right. And I was like, no, I'll just go with the bit I know. It's the next thing. GA, the Sean South from. And then I got to about the. And then I was like, I think I'll leave it at that now. I just can't remember the end of it. So and I still have the tin whistle and I still bring it out every now and then and play
Tommy,
it.
Tommy, do you ever learn anything?
No. Do you think that you're competitive people?
Oh, yeah, I am.
You are?
Yeah.
And how would that, so you're...
It doesn't overrule my life now.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like, oh my God, I have to win everything, but I do like to win things.
So where would you get an opportunity to express your competitiveness?
I play Scrabble sometimes, but I'm not great at it. Okay. But I do like to maybe cheat a little bit.
You play with your fella?
Yeah.
During lockdown, the two of you?
Yeah.
Now, he's good with words.
Yeah, so that's a problematic because I can't spell that many words. And he even knows Latin words. So, you know, it's a bit of a problem. So I don't win that much. But I think my competitiveness came from playing football and, you know, doing that, you know, running and stuff when you're a kid.
But where does it come out now? Like so you...
Arguments.
Oh. You have to win arguments.
I like winning arguments, yeah.
And then if I think relentless and just...
Yeah, and then if I think I've lost the argument, I'll say it at the start, but I'm sure that's what I said. I'll change my argument. You know, I'll just go, but sure, that's what I was trying to tell you. I'm like, you know, do...
I have noticed that that you are quite competitive.
With arguments.
Yes, you do like to have the last word, and you always do. That's what I said 10 minutes ago.
Exactly.
That's your signature move as an arguer.
Go, yeah. Yeah, I used to do it to my father all the time.
Well, and you're fairly fucking relentless as well. You kind of, you don't let his yoke go. You're just fucking at it and at it and at it.
Is that a male thing?
Yeah, well, it's my, I don't know, what's my thing?
But say now, with you work as a fundraiser for the Mayo Roscommon Hospice. Yeah. How does being competitive come out in that? Does it come out in that?
I don't know what it'd be coming out in that, but you'd still like to succeed and get money for the charity. So you'd be kind of... doing everything you
So the Mayo Roscommon Hospice is a charitable organisation and survives entirely on funding. Yes. Who are your enemies? Like with the Sligo Leitrim Hospice.
Would that be a derby if there was a five-a-side match?
If there was a fundraiser on, that'd be
it'd be us versus the
Sligo Leitrim boys. Yeah. So who'd be your enemies, Loretta?
It's charity though, so you don't have
Come
enemies.
On, who Come are your on. Enemies?
It would be definitely not another hospice. That wouldn't be your enemy, because you'd be trying to... That'd be the movement you'd be working
towards. Yeah, but there's fundraisers in there. You'd be there. I know that bitch from fucking Sligo is on the phone again.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I know. You wouldn't be with I wouldn't be like that now. I'd be...
Like, what charity do you think gets enough fucking money in the chance to give the rest of you a bit of a break?
The thing I hate the most...
Yes.
About any type
get
of
get it off your chest
about any type of fundraising is ones that don't go to a charity.
What do you mean?
Like, say for instance, this woman in England, she was
I don't
a
like
politician,
her already.
Right? She was a politician, and her cat needed to get cataract operation done, right?
Yes.
So she set up a GoFundMe page.
Go fuck yourself, bitch.
Yeah. And she was really, really, really wealthy, and the cat, like,
got funded.
She put loads of pictures of the cat up and look at its eyes, and oh my god, look at the poor cat. And people started pouring money into this GoFundMe page. And that's what I don't like. Because there's no accountability for that page. She could raise 20,000 and the cat's operation could cost two, and she could just keep the rest of the money.
But you've no problem, say, with an ad for an old donkey who has only the three legs and the one wonky eye and something.
Gets a replacement leg.
Yeah. You've no problem with charities that work with donkeys.
No, I've no problem with charities that are raising the money.
Yeah.
But I don't like, say, for instance, if I decided tomorrow I needed a new haircut and I couldn't afford to get it done, and I could set up a GoFundMe page and I could get €20,000 for a haircut. I don't like that.
Okay.
So I have a hostility towards that.
And do you
kind
come
of
across it much? Is there much of it, like?
It's becoming more and more and more popular. Yeah. No,
and how
I
are
mean,
people getting away with
the
it?
Majority of people are going to be honest, and they're not going to set up a page just for the crack, like.
Yeah.
But it's a big thing. Like, you could see Hector's little group that they used to go out doing their training for. You know that group that you had when you were 16? If you decided to have that group now,
GoFundMe,
you could set up a GoFundMe page.
Hundreds of thousands of people making donations.
Exactly. And there's no...
There's no regulation to that.
I don't like that.
You wouldn't be competitive in fundraising. Like,
I wouldn't
I
wouldn't say, for instance, a poor, like, other charity that's running alongside us, I wouldn't try and hack them down until I had all the money taken for us. Like, I wouldn't do that.
No, but you said that sentence so fluently, the idea has obviously crossed your mind. Are you competitive, Hector?
You are
competitive.
No, Tommy, there's no point in being competitive.
You're a liar.
You're such a liar. No. I'd go to your house to play pool, the best of fucking...
Yeah, but that's totally different.
The first to 10.
I need to get
his
off.
His walk changes when he's ahead of me, and he just gets a bit more. And he loves it when he baits me. Don't you love it when you bait me at the pool?
Let's just say.
Do you love it when you bait me at the pool?
I love
it. I know you love it, Jim.
I love seeing Tommy putting the
suffer.
I love seeing Tommy putting the cue back in the thing, and then I see him go back to the car. We drank about six pots of tea, and I was like, "Right, I'll talk to you. I'll talk to you." And he puts the cue in.
I've been bet 10-4. 10-4.
And your head's
that's a bad beat in the region. First couple of frames were trappy, but then when I open up that arm and I start
trying to get the shoulder going,
and I start doing them long pots that he sees, he just the magnificent. Even if I'm up tight against the cushion, I'll be there like this, and he knows it's coming. Tommy, I've been watching you potting balls. We've been watching you do the potting balls for
all our lives.
Years. We're fanatics.
So tell me about
I would be competitive about you because you're a good player. Now, I have to raise my game.
Tell me other places where you're competitive.
We have tables in our house and we're fanatics for that.
Are you competitive?
When I was playing squash, table tennis in...
See? Table
tennis.
Coming out now.
Table tennis in Skullmira. I beat Alan Riley. I was in 4th class. He was in 6th class. And I became the table tennis champion of Skullmira way back in the day. And my picture is still in the hallway. And there's a picture of me and Alan
Riley. Still in the school.
Still in the school. But I was 4th class and I was beating a lad from 6th in table tennis. So I was competitive back then.
That's like a League of Ireland team beating fucking Bayern Munich in the Bundesliga.
Yes. Just am I competitive as a coach with my team that I'm coaching now? Yes.
Blood. There will be blood.
There will be blood, of course.
What are you like on the sideline? Are you roaring?
No.
I remember when you and I were coaching. Remember I told you the story about the Liverpool legends and United legends came to town. And myself and Hector got to play 15 minutes each.
Yes.
With the two teams. But we were kind of half told beforehand that you'll be the coaches of the team. Like the fucking stupidity of that, us fucking shouting instructions to European Cup winners and fucking FA Cup medalists.
But I remember, hold it there, hold it, yeah. Hold the back four and push it all right.
I remember
in
one
in the centre, John.
Nigel Davenport, a fucking quality footballer. I remember him running up beside the wing. You're, Davo, go Davo, go Davo, go. So you have a natural...
Yeah.
Leading on the sideline.
So what are you like on the sideline of a GAA pitch?
What I'm learning as a coach going into a minor season.
Oh Jesus.
That I will not be as boisterous or aggressive on the sideline. There's no point now shouting at these young men because the football they know, they're better players than I'll ever be. So it's now time for me to step back, to get my point across before they enter the pitch and for them to do the work. And I've told my co-coaches and my manager, to lads, there's no more shouting. There's no more shouting now. It's up to them. So what I'm trying to do is take that step back and be very calm, Jim Galvin-esque.
Are you
Sean Boylan-esque?
Are you
stand back.
Competitive with your work? Like, would you look at other travel presenters and go, oh, he's that fucking...
No, I would be a little bit, no, I wouldn't be competitive. If I hear any more, I'm not that competitive. I'm not that...
He totally is competitive.
If I hear any fucking more of film stars going around the world on fucking motorbikes going, we're going to go around the world and it's called A Long Way Around and just me and my best friend with another bike and we're in Mongolia and this is amazing and this is the best thing, hardest thing we've ever done. My arse is sore, my fucking boils in my feet, I've blisters, I'm dehydrated, we have diarrhoea. Nah, bollocks. Just turn the camera around and show the 55 crew waiting in fucking Winnebago's behind you, you pile of shite.
Yeah.
See, yeah, what you're after uncovering, Tommy.
Yeah, we're peeling back the layers now.
Now it's all coming. Now
That's because
was that competitive?
That's because Hector, that's because you have done the real hardcore traveling. You're just three of you on the road.
Yeah, no funded, helicopters.
These boys are funded by the BBC. You're funded
fucking
by
six drones.
By the fucking by Kalash and Naveen out in the one.
No, or maybe a survival guide that says, right, I'm here, I'm on the west coast of Ireland and this is an amazing, and he's a very famous survival guide, and I like Ray Mears bushcraft. That's the only guy that I like, Ray Mears. But this famous guy with black hair that used to be in the military that has a posh accent from England that gets sponsored for everything he does. If he raises a spoon, he's sponsored. But he said he came to Ireland and he says, I'm on the west coast of Ireland. It's one of the most rugged places I've ever been. This reminds me of Antarctica and Patagonia. I don't know where I am. I'm disorientated. I'm cold. I'm hypothermic. I'm hungry. I haven't eaten in 6 days. All I'm going to eat is this sweet moss. I'm going to try and go about 7 miles this way. The wind is coming in. I better get some shelter. I better buy some shelter. It's getting cold. My hands are numb. I've nothing here except a penknife. Oh, look, there's a carcass of a sheep. Bollocks. He's just fucking stumbled across a carcass of a sheep.
Yeah.
I've only got one knife here. It's going to be pretty difficult. This reminds me when I cut the umbilical cord of my child. But I'm fucking sawing into it here and I'm going to saw this sheep. Saw this sheep wide open. Oh, night is falling. Night is falling. I'm hypothermic. If I don't get warmth, I'll die. I think I'm going to wrap myself into the intestines of the sheep and sleep here tonight. And I'm going to envelop the sheep's fucking guts around me and sleep inside the sheep and hopefully wake up close in the morning and I'll be alive. Bollocks. They stayed in a hotel in fucking Clifton that night. It's bollocks.
Oh, Jesus.
Tommy, I ask you the question, is Hector competitive?
I don't think he's competitive at
all. Where did that come out of?
I don't think he's competitive at all.
Not competitive.
No, fair enough. Like, I would say from that conversation, he's definitely
I don't like
not.
Them type of shows that try and fool an audience.
Yes, yes.
Thank you all for downloading the podcast wherever you are around the world or whatever parish you're in around Ireland. We're delighted with the reaction. Click and subscribe on Spotify and Google and Acast and all the places where you get your podcast. And that's it for today, isn't it?
Mind yourselves out there.
Yeah, Fine Geese Law. Cousins.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.